If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First of all, it's free, which for us is really important. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcast, and more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Emergency Docs. I'm Dr. R. Please note that the content of this episode does not constitute medical advice, but is purely for the purpose of education. This episode was supported by the National Geographic Society Emergency Fund for Journalists. Today, we're talking to Dr. Lauren Silvanovich. Dr. Silvanovich is an emergency physician in Southern California, and we're going to talk about COVID and pregnancy and vaccination. So Dr. Silvanovich is an emergency medicine physician who lives and works in Long Beach, California, and she also sees patients from home via telemedicine with a Teladoc Urgent Care and works for Mobile Health as a consultant for product development with a focus on preventative medicine. Her undergraduate degree is in biology and physiology with a minor in chemistry from California State University, Long Beach, where she was also captain of the Division I women's basketball team and an academic All-American. She went on to medical school at the University of California, Irvine, and stayed there to continue her training, completing residency in emergency medicine in 2019. Medicine has been her passion for many years and will remain a key aspect of her life as she enters a new chapter in her life as a mother. So she's currently 38 weeks pregnant upon recording this podcast and has been pregnant for a good portion of the pandemic. She and her husband, a local dentist, are expecting their first child, who is a boy, in November, and they're looking forward to him joining them for their many hobbies, which include spending active time outdoors, on the beach, exploring Long Beach, and adventuring in the United States and all over the world. So welcome, Lauren.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm glad we were able to fit this in before I deliver.
Yeah, me too. If you need to go, just let me know.
Yeah, I'll keep you posted.
So tell me a little bit about your background. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Southern California, Fullerton, which is just North Orange County. And as you were just mentioning, was very fortunate for all of my training to be able to stay local. You mentioned Long Beach and University of California, Irvine, where we met. About 5 years ago now. And yeah, so stayed local, but loved to travel and get out and see the world.
So when did you know you wanted to be a doctor?
I actually thought I wanted to be a veterinarian. And I entered college thinking I was definitely going to be a veterinarian. I was interested in the sciences and started going down that route and realized I really only liked dogs and puppies. So when you think of the big picture of being a veterinarian, there's a lot of other animals in the world. Yeah, so switched course. My parents are both in healthcare, neither are physicians, but I always had kind of a background in healthcare from that aspect, and then started volunteering at a hospital in college and realized very quickly that I wanted to be a physician, partly because I do like all people versus only liking dogs.
Yeah.
in the animal world. So yeah, it worked out well.
Oh, that's awesome. And then what made you choose emergency medicine?
So after college, I was actually a scribe in the ER. And that was my first introduction to emergency medicine. My mom always teases me because as a child, didn't want to go to the doctor, nearly passed out for every shot. My mom was an ER nurse and my dad a respiratory therapist. So they had medical conversations all the time and I did not want anything to do with it. But here I am an ER doctor years and years later. But it was really that introduction to emergency medicine as a scribe that pushed me down that route. And then, as you know, experiences in medical school kind of lead you one way or another. And here we are.
Yeah, I find that in medical school, emergency medicine physicians tend to be the people who are like, well, I kind of like everything. So...
Yeah, for sure. I think the one other thing I thought about, actually, ironically, with today's topic is OB-GYN. And then I realized I didn't really love the OR as much. Like, I loved procedures, but not the OR. And so that led me away from it. But I mean, we see a lot of pregnant patients in the ER. So it's been right. So we just, like you said, we get the variety.
Yeah, for sure. What is your favorite thing about emergency medicine?
I think that fact that we can see anyone and everyone who walks in the door, you know, there's not a front office filtering which insurance the patient has, where they're coming from, where they referred, where they not referred. To me, I think that aspect of medicine is really frustrating, even as a patient. So I think that I just like the fact that I go to work and whoever comes to see me, I can see and I can provide the best care for and use the best supplies and, you know, just use all the skills I have at my fingertips. I don't really have to filter through, are they going to pay or not pay? And so that I think is ultimately what I enjoy most about it.
I am so with you on that. Not having to worry about insurance is, I think, a major benefit of working in the emergency department. Well, I guess we still have to worry about it. And there are still times where we have to transfer patients and do other things. But for the most part, that's not going into my decision making at all.
Right. Yeah. And the initial care, which is nice.
Yeah. So what is your least favorite thing about emergency medicine?
I think going into being even a mom or a mother, the schedule can be tough. I think it has its pros and cons. It's nice that we work different hours. We work days and we work nights. But I think even still at a young age and still early in the career, the switching back and forth to nights gets very hard very quickly. I do think probably well prepared for a newborn because of that. Yeah, I'd say just the lack of stability in the schedule really is probably the biggest con. But I also think that it's on the pro list in the fact that, you know, we work nights and weekends, so we're not a Monday through Friday 8 to 5, and we get to spend a lot of more time at home. We don't have calls. So there's definitely pros and cons there.
Yeah. Not being on call is a huge benefit, I
think. For sure. Yeah. And it allows us to, you know, do other things like you do, or for me, consulting and doing some telemedicine. There's, I think, more variety in the career than some other specialties too.
Yeah. I think that's one of my personal favorite things about emergency medicine, is just because you're well-versed in a lot of different things, there's a lot of opportunity to do non-traditional types of medicine, like wilderness medicine or any of the sort of non-traditional fields.
Right. And you have the time to dive into it a little more.
Yeah, for sure. Because there's not a whole, well, there's always patients waiting, but you don't have your own patient panel that you're responsible for.
Yeah, one of your colleagues is there holding down.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, so today we're discussing COVID vaccines and pregnancy, and you are currently 38 weeks pregnant, so you've definitely experienced all of this firsthand. For me, vaccines weren't available until I was nursing. I think 1 month after I delivered was when I got my first dose, the second I was able to get it.
Right.
But taking the vaccine while nursing is still a concern for many women. So today we're going to discuss the risks and benefits associated with vaccines and pregnancy. And so you personally chose to get vaccinated while pregnant. So tell us a little bit about your thought process and what data, if there is any, that helped convince you that was the right thing to do.
Yeah. So I got the booster while pregnant. I was actually vaccinated just barely prior to conception. But it was something I really thought about. So my husband and I talked about wanting to have kids towards the end of last year. And as you know, all the public knows, November and December here in Southern California was when the pandemic was really at its worst. And we were on the front lines and I was seeing COVID patients my entire shift. And the patient side of me was also concerned about getting pregnant and getting COVID right away. So I think we had a lot to think about. I knew if I got pregnant, I was going to get vaccinated. But part of me also wanted to try to get vaccinated before getting pregnant, because I knew being on the front line, how high risk I would have been to get it early in pregnancy. And there are many risks that come with getting it while being pregnant, but kind of answer your question. So I got both doses of vaccination pretty much a month later, conceived. And then I chose, though, just recently to get the booster while pregnant, and to have, you know, a lot of reasons behind that as well. One is that here towards the end of the pregnancy, this is when I'm at highest risk for a more severe course. And again, was working, you know, in the ER. I just finished my shifts, but was definitely concerned that if I got it this late in pregnancy, as you remember, we just don't breathe as well when our bellies are this big. And I know if I got a pneumonia of any kind, I wouldn't have as much strength to fight it as I would not pregnant. So I got the vaccine on the first day I could last December, and then got the booster just a few weeks ago. And part of my reasoning for getting the booster as well is to pass antibodies to the baby. So we pass antibodies through the placenta. And then, you know, as soon as I deliver, want to breastfeed, especially those first few days, there's a lot of antibody passage. So hoping that I also am giving him protection.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I remember vaccination wasn't an option for me while I was still pregnant, but especially toward the end of pregnancy, I was so nervous about, especially just, I mean, even with hospital protocols, if I were to get infected at the time of delivery, my husband probably wouldn't have been allowed in the room. My doctor and nursing staff, you know, wouldn't have been able to be present as much potentially. And I potentially could have ended up delivering in a coma, which has happened to pregnant women.
Very scary cases. Ventilators, delivering while on a ventilator, on ECMO. I mean, they're really sad cases at the end of pregnancy.
Yeah. So I think there's a ton of evidence out there that supports women getting vaccinated while pregnant or before pregnancy. And so I know you have done a ton of research to talk about this today. So we know that pregnant women are a high-risk group and they're at risk of having severe disease if they contract COVID during pregnancy. And so what were some of the most standout statistics or facts that influenced your decision?
Yeah, so I know overall they rate the pregnant women group as an overall low risk. But if you do get pregnant, you're much greater risk of more severe disease. And that's going to be typically later in the third trimester. Statistically, you're much higher risk to be admitted to an ICU, much higher risk to die from the illness, and much higher risk to have a severe illness. So I know the CDC put out a report where they looked at all the women who had to be hospitalized or died from COVID-19 during their pregnancy, and 97% of those were unvaccinated. So in that severe illness group, the hospitalized and those who unfortunately passed, obviously, the not vaccinating part was a huge part of why they had a more severe course. So as pregnant women, we're generally young, healthy people. But those who do have obesity and have diabetes prior to the pregnancy, or those who develop gestational diabetes while pregnant, just like if you weren't pregnant with diabetes and obesity, you're higher risk. So there are groups even within the pregnant population, even though overall a pregnant population is a healthy population for the most part, there are much higher risk for a severe course.
Yeah, that's a great point too, in that if a pregnant woman is or has pre-existing conditions like hypertension or diabetes or obesity, those are things that can increase your risk for severe illness from COVID. And so being pregnant just sort of adds on to that, that chance of having more severe symptoms from COVID. So that's an important consideration, I think, for women to think about is what their risk group is. And, you know, if they're in one of those high risk groups before being pregnant and adding the pregnancy, that they probably should consider vaccine even more seriously.
For sure. Yeah. You bring up blood pressure, and even those without high blood pressure prior to pregnancy, just like gestational diabetes can become something during pregnancy, preeclampsia is something that all OBs are talking to their patients about. And that's why you go pee at every visit, is they're checking that protein in the urine. And there are studies that are showing that those who suffered from COVID-19 at any point during their pregnancy are higher risk for preeclampsia, which puts both mom and baby at risk. And the other thing you're at higher risk for, you know, with COVID not even as part of the conversation, is getting blood clots in pregnancy. And there's studies that are coming out that when you compound pregnancy increased risk of blood clot with getting COVID, which we hear in the news all the time, you know, that's part of the risk of just having COVID, again, independent of being pregnant. When you combine those two, you know, there's studies out there that are showing a higher risk, which is going to, again, be dangerous for you and the baby. But more reasons to get vaccinated for sure.
Yeah. And we've talked about preeclampsia in our pregnancy series, but just to sort of review, preeclampsia is a disease that happens in pregnancy where women will start to have protein in urine and elevated blood pressure, and this can progress to seizures and other risks to both mom and baby. And so it's something absolutely want to avoid, and we have to treat very aggressively when it happens.
For sure.
Okay, so there's a lot of rumors out there swirling about the vaccine. So I think I've heard people say that the vaccine affects fertility, that there are microchips in the vaccine, and there's all sorts of things out there on social media. What are some of these that you've heard, and we'd like to sort of lay to rest what is true and not true? And so, you know, obviously, well, I can't say obviously, but there are no microchips in the vaccine. I can verify that. And it does not affect fertility. And I think you had a study that you actually recently found to support this.
Yeah. So as far as fertility, that what went around and circled on social media was that there was a protein in the vaccine that was similar to, you know, to make a long story short, similar to that protein that helps your placenta stick to your uterus. And, you know, the placenta is your passageway to your baby, and it's what nourishes the baby. You would not be able to make it through a 40-week gestation without the placenta. So placenta is for sure important. And so this rumor passed on social media that there's some interaction with this protein, or this protein is similar. There were lots of different versions of it. But basically, that was what was going to cause you to have fertility issues if you got vaccinated. And none of it was true. The other thing was, if I got vaccinated, you know, would I get COVID? I think a lot of people were scared of that. Or by getting vaccinated, would I give the baby COVID? And, you know, the vaccines are not live viruses. It's not possible in any way for that to happen. So I think those are like two big things I would see, you know, pop up on social media and on news sources that weren't reliable, that were scaring a lot of people. And if you go back to December, when the vaccine came out, the wording that CDC, even the big OB-GYN groups and organizations, they weren't pushing the vaccine early on when it came out. And probably for the right reasons. There wasn't enough data. I mean, even back then, I knew I would get vaccinated and I felt like I had enough information. But I could easily see how anyone in the general public would be scared, as they should be. I was scared, which kind of led up to this, you know, 9-month period since the vaccine came out where many pregnant women were not vaccinated. I think at one point when the death rate for pregnancy hit its highest in August of this year. And that was when, at that point, there were only about 20%, I think it was 21 to 23% of pregnant women were actually vaccinated, and the death rate was skyrocketing in August. So all of this campaigning came out on behalf of the CDC and ACOG to really get pregnant women vaccinated and get the right information out there so that they would be interested and feel comfortable getting vaccinated.
Yeah, I think those are all really important points. And as physicians and as patients, it's always really important to consider risks versus benefits. So for you and me, we're literally on the front line treating COVID patients day in and day out. And so I think for us in particular, the benefit of getting vaccinated even early before thousands and thousands of other people had been vaccinated made sense. And I understand hesitancy to a point for people to want to wait a little longer and wait for the vaccine to be fully approved. But everyone has to do a risk versus benefit analysis. And at this stage, we really know this vaccine is, there are multiple vaccines, but the COVID vaccines in general are very safe and they're very effective. And so the risk, particularly for women who are pregnant and may have underlying conditions as well, is high enough that I think it's really important to get vaccinated.
Exactly. Yeah. And the risk benefit there. And now with all these big organizations, the CDC, ACOG, which is the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology, the Society for Maternal Fetal Medicine, they're all very strongly supporting and promoting getting vaccinated. And we've talked a lot about benefit it has to the mom, but I think as a mom, even not yet a mom, meaning I haven't delivered, part of me is more wanting to protect the baby than I even want to protect myself. And those risks that come with, so mothers who get COVID during pregnancy, particularly in third trimester, your baby's much higher chance of being in the NICU. Unfortunately, there are studies showing a higher risk of stillbirth and earlier in pregnancy, high risk of miscarriage for those who aren't vaccinated and get COVID. So not only are you helping and protecting yourself, you're very quickly, you know, switching into mom brain and helping your baby, which these big organizations are get more data and more studies to support that those claims too.
Yeah. As a pregnant woman, it's not just your health. Everything that happens to you also happens to the baby. And I think that's another really important thing to think about. If there is any benefit of passing some of those antibodies to the baby, that just gives them an additional level of protection. But also, if you were to get infected with any illness that causes high fevers, that can also affect the fetus as well and lead to some of those bad outcomes that you talked about. So again, you want to avoid getting sick at all when pregnant, but because the SARS-CoV-2 virus has been so prevalent during this time, it's been increased risk. But in general, women who are pregnant should really try to avoid getting sick as much as possible.
Right. Yeah, definitely.
So is there any difference in all the different vaccines for pregnant women, or women can have whatever?
So they're all now approved for pregnant women. I mean, I think the only thing is if you were under the age of 18, you still have to go towards Pfizer as far as what's approved. But otherwise, they're all approved and boosters are approved as well. And so, like I mentioned earlier, I got the booster just a few weeks ago and am hoping that with, I think if I go to the full 40 weeks, I'll have had about 5 weeks to pass antibodies through the placenta after my booster, and then also we'll be passing antibodies through the breast milk. And I think in addition, I just feel much more comfortable going into having a newborn baby and knowing that I'm less likely to get COVID from someone else and give COVID to my baby. Because not only are you passing antibodies, when you're breastfeeding, you're very close to your baby. When you're caring for your baby, you're very close to your baby. So if you get COVID during that time, even shortly postpartum, when your baby is so high risk to get worse infections, whether it's COVID or not, I think having that protection really gives me some reassurance as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one thing we haven't really talked about yet. So the data suggests that after getting the COVID vaccine, that antibodies can be passed to the baby in breast milk. And so there are really no known risks to the baby for this, but there's a lot of potential benefits. So how do you counsel your patients on this?
So throughout the whole pandemic, I saw a lot of pregnant women with COVID. I saw a lot of women coming in asking questions about, like, well, if I get the vaccine, can I get pregnant? You know, especially early on, going back 6 or 9 months ago. And I always tell them that, you know, as we already discussed, weigh the risks and benefits. Risks are going to be the same as those if you were not pregnant. The allergic reaction that we're seeing, which is very rare, but it can happen. And then you're could possibly experience some symptoms, flu-like symptoms after, as well as pain in the arm. I mean, those are the big ones we hear about, with allergic reaction being the most severe one we hear about. But really, there has been no data or no information out there to support that just because you're pregnant, you're going to have this other set of risks or these other list of things you need to be concerned about. Really, it's just adding more information that you should get vaccinated, and the benefits of vaccination are even more than someone who is not pregnant.
Yeah. So as far as breastfeeding goes, what are some of the benefits and risks associated with getting the vaccine while breastfeeding?
So there's been a study that came out recently. It's still, you know, only a small group of women. They studied 131 women exactly. And there was a group that were pregnant, a group that were lactating, and a group that were non-pregnant. And they looked at what response they had after getting the vaccine. And particularly after getting the second dose, all of the markers became much more significant. And just to compare, because a lot of women didn't want to get vaccinated because they had COVID-19, which they're very much correct. They've had an antibody response. The antibody response from the vaccine and what antibodies we passed to the baby from the vaccine were much, much stronger than if you just had the disease itself. So that's something to keep in mind, and a question I got asked a lot throughout the last year as well. But basically, this study broke it down and they looked at different types of immunoglobulins, which are our antibodies that we're going to pass to the fetus. And kind of as we've already covered, the two main ways as a mom we give protection to our fetus are through the placenta and through the breast milk. And this study showed that we are passing those antibodies through the placenta because basically at birth, they took blood from the umbilical cord, which is our connection to the baby, and the antibodies were there. And they were there much more so for those who got two doses of the vaccine than those who didn't, and much more so for those who got two doses of the vaccine than those who just had COVID. So that's the first way, is just throughout your gestation, you know, passing through the placenta. But specifically for breastfeeding, right after you deliver, for the first few days before your milk comes in, you have a product you're producing for your baby called colostrum, and that is very high and rich in antibodies. And that is where they also saw a good amount of passage of the antibodies in this study. So again, it's a small study, but if we think about just the science of how we pass all of our other antibodies onto our baby, this is the same process. And so it's definitely encouraging and I think a big benefit.
Yeah, I don't know any mom who doesn't want to give their child, you know, the best health or the best benefit that they can. And so I think that's really interesting that there's a much stronger antibody passage to the baby, particularly after vaccination, compared to just having the illness. So that's really, really cool. So let's say a mom does have COVID and so has the baby and fortunately doesn't have any complications. Right now, it's still recommended that the mom continues breastfeeding, as far as I know. So can we talk a little bit about sort of the risks and benefits of breastfeeding versus not breastfeeding for moms who have COVID and don't want to pass it to their baby?
Yeah, so I've read the same thing. You know, if you are in the unfortunate circumstance where you're breastfeeding and have COVID, they recommend, you know, the same measures as they do to the whole public, is wearing a mask and washing your hands. There's actually still doing those two things, despite your baby being very close to you, can prevent the risk and significantly decrease the risk of exposing your baby to COVID-19. It seems to be that the benefits of continuing breastfeeding and not separating yourself from your baby if you do develop COVID during that period, the benefits of continuing breastfeeding outweigh the risks of passing COVID to your baby. So you should continue to breastfeed from what I've been reading.
Yeah. And as far as I know, I haven't read any studies that have found SARS-CoV-2, the actual virus, in breast milk. So it's unlikely that the virus passes through breast milk to the baby, even though antibodies against the virus to protect the baby do pass through breast milk. So I just want to clarify that. But another approach that I think I've read is having moms who have COVID, depending on how bad their illness is, pump and then have another non-infected family member feed the baby with a bottle. And so that can also sort of increase the distance between mom and baby while she's still infectious, but still maintain the breast milk for the baby, which, as we've discussed, has tons of benefits.
Right. Yeah. So I think that's also a great plan for sure.
All right. So what is one thing you wish everyone knew about COVID?
It is really sad and it is really scary for someone to be in an ER room with a doctor that is covered head to toe in protective gear, you know, not able to communicate with you clearly, really not able to give the best care possible by being pulled so many different directions during this pandemic and, you know, so much information being flooded at us as care providers. I think I just want people to know, you don't want to be in that situation. You don't want any of your loved ones to be in that situation. You don't want your baby to be in that situation. So whether it is taking measures to prevent from getting the virus or getting vaccinated, whatever it is you can do to prevent getting into that situation, it's terrible to be going through what you and I have gone through this past year in caring for patients. And there's a lot of morale that has dropped within the healthcare system, with between nurses, between doctors. It's just not a great place right now to work. But I do think we're going to come out stronger, meaning the healthcare system should come out stronger by going through this. But I just would want to stress to the general population in general that really you don't want to put yourself in that situation.
Yeah, absolutely. What are some of the best ways for pregnant and breastfeeding women to stay safe? What are the best ways for them to prevent getting sick?
Yeah, so wearing a mask, physical distancing, I mean, those are the two things that have been proven throughout the entire pandemic, again, pregnant and non-pregnant, to prevent your risk of getting the virus. And I think just, you know, being socially aware of who's going to be around you, and particularly late in the pregnancy and around your baby, that's something I've had to think about recently. If I don't feel like it's a comfortable situation, or I think I'm putting myself at risk, again, like I mentioned earlier, that I think that mom brain is starting to kick in where, you know, I want to be around those who are being safe and being careful as well, and those who are vaccinated, because I know how much that just decreases my risk and how much less risk it will be to my baby too.
And I know everybody is so tired, like you and I, all the physicians, the nurses, everybody in healthcare are tired. The patients are tired. The general public is tired. And I get that. Like, I get that as a human being who just wants to get back out there and live life like normal. But I also want to see this pandemic end in a safe way. And so it's really important, particularly, you know, if you're a new parent, to continue to try to stay as cautious as you can so that you don't end up hanging out with Dr. Silvanovich or I in the emergency department. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's great to see, you know, even daily, you know, more studies come out about protecting kids. You know, if we protect kids, we protect babies. They're all playing together and they're spreading the virus just like in the non-COVID pandemic world, you know, this time of year, especially. Outcome all these germs that are passed around in schools. So I think it's super exciting to see more of the pediatric population going to have access to vaccination as well.
Yeah, I can't wait until my child can get vaccinated. I mean, because it is something, our life hasn't really changed that much in that we still need to protect him. Because while it is rare for kids to have severe side effects, you know, we did do an episode on long COVID in children, and that happens. You can have debilitating long-term side effects. And there have been 550 kids or so who have died. And so nobody expects it's going to be their child, but you never know. So yeah, but we are very much looking forward to hopefully seeing things improve and continuing to improve.
For sure. Yeah.
So you kind of mentioned or alluded to how difficult the last year has been. How have you been able to maintain balance for yourself, kind of between everything that we've seen and faced in the emergency department, your pregnancy, having family and friends? Kind of how have you managed that?
Yeah, I think in ways the pregnancy made going to work much harder. It physically harder. It made, again, my concerns about COVID even more so being pregnant. But also, in a way, the pregnancy has been a distraction, a good one. All the little things like learning from you or from other friends and colleagues about what kind of things I need as a mom. I think it's kind of funny. As a doctor, I think people just expect you also know how to be a mom. And actually, no, I think we learn all these things in medical school. Yes, but we don't learn a lot of the practical things. So I think it's been fun reading about, you know, reading, educating myself more about being pregnant and being a mom, kind of in a way, putting myself in the patient's perspective and not being a doctor has helped me step away and helped be a good distraction. Little things like putting together the nursery, getting clothes for him. I mean, these are all just such happy moments in our lives that despite a pandemic, I'm still really much enjoying, very much enjoying. So I think in a way, although the pregnancy has made work harder, it has also been a really good distraction.
Yeah, totally. I felt the same way. Just remember, there's so much in, I mean, I knew what was happening as far as like the anatomy and physiology was concerned. But when it comes to actually like being a mom, being a parent and going through the changes to your body, it's all very different from what we learn in a textbook.
For sure. Yeah. And even throughout my pregnancy, I realized how much better care I was providing to my pregnant patients. Just by further educating myself, going through things more myself, and then now entering the newborn stage here in the next couple of weeks, I think, you know, when babies come in, I'm going to be a better doctor to babies too. So that's really exciting to me and been a fun part for sure.
I continue to learn new things every day. And I think that's so important for everyone, whether you're a physician, a parent, or just kind of living your life. It's really, really important to just continue learning every day.
Right. Yeah.
Do you have any advice for anyone who's really struggling right now, going through the pandemic or pregnancy or any number of life changes?
Yeah, I think pregnancy is a roller coaster within the 9 months. And I think in a way, in the bigger picture, our lives are also roller coasters over the course of many years. And there's going to be highs and there's going to be lows. I mean, it's crazy. We're what, like 2.5 years out of residency now. And we've already, even within our careers, experienced this roller coaster of like got out of residency and everything was so new. And then we start to feel a little more comfortable being on our own and practicing. And then here comes the pandemic and, you know, down we go. And then back up we come because we're vaccinated and we're pregnant and we're having babies. I mean, like you have a baby, or babies are about a year, going to be about a year apart. So, you know, so many exciting things happening in our lives, so many crazy things happening. But I think leaning on others for support has been something I've done very much so in the last year. My husband, my family, my friends. In a way, I think that the pandemic has allowed me to connect with people more in some ways, despite not being able to see everyone. So I think, you know, knowing that there's a roller coaster, a pregnancy and of your life, and knowing that leaning on others is only going to make it that much better and more enjoyable.
Yeah, I do think that one of the great things about the pandemic is it has made connection much easier. I think before the pandemic, Zoom wasn't something we all did all the time. FaceTime was around, I guess, but it's really just increased our capability to connect remotely. And I think that's benefited patients a lot too, because it's helped develop our telemedicine and remote medicine systems much more quickly than they probably would have without the pandemic.
For sure. Yeah. As you mentioned kind of in the beginning in that bio, that's been a new part of my career this year is practicing telemedicine. I mean, there's been a learning curve to that, but it's incredible. Like when I go back through that Teladoc urgent care service and see how many patients I've seen from home, like how many people I've connected with on the phone and through video and helped that otherwise, you know, even if it wasn't giving them a medicine or, you know, directly like we do in the ER, treating somebody with our hands, just answering their questions and giving them reassurance, whether it's about themselves or their child, like that's something I never would have pictured in my career doing from home here at my desk. And it's something that is enjoyable, like you said, whether it's connecting with your friends and family or connecting with more patients. I think it's been a great part of what's come out of the pandemic.
Yeah, for sure. I hope that, you know, we'll continue to see a lot of these systems develop because they're pretty efficient for patients and doctors. So in a lot of ways, I think it can improve a lot of our care, but we'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
Any final words of wisdom before we wrap this up?
No, I think, you know, we've covered a lot of things. Obviously, we're both very much promoting that you should get vaccinated. If you're pregnant, if you're breastfeeding, if you're planning to get pregnant, anywhere you are at in your motherhood journey, it really is a big part of what you can do to protect yourself and your baby, you know, at this point where the world is at today. So just encouraging people to not be afraid. And if you are afraid, also encouraging people to talk to your OB-GYN about it. I think some patients were even afraid to ask us about it in the ER or are afraid to go and talk to their OB-GYN about it. Just talking about it doesn't mean they're going to run in and stab you with the vaccine. I've literally had patients refuse pain medications or refuse shots of medicine because they're afraid we're going to give them the vaccine. And I'm like, no, 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 we're here to answer questions. That's not what we do. No doctor will do that to you. No nurse will do that to you. So just encouraging anyone out there who's nervous or worried about it to ask more questions, because if nothing else, getting your questions answered will help you make that decision appropriately for yourself and weigh those risks and benefits like we've talked a lot about today, and do what's best for you and best for your baby.
Yeah, I second that 100%. I think it's so important to ask questions from reliable sources, and your doctors are a reliable source, and we genuinely want to help you, and we want to answer those questions and help figure out where, if there is any misinformation or disinformation, where that's coming from, and help dispel some of those myths. And so, yeah, I can't emphasize enough to just keep asking questions from reliable sources. Preferably not like social media or anything like that, but talk to your doctor if you're concerned. And, you know, we can help go through all of those questions and concerns with you. All right. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Silvanovich, for joining us.
Yeah. Thanks for having me today. Appreciate it.
That's it for this episode. If you like what you hear, please give us a 5-star rating, subscribe, or send this episode to someone you know who might enjoy it. Feel free to connect with us on our website, theemergencydocs.com or Instagram @theemergencydocs. Until next time.